Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
This British guy went viral. He is known for being the guy that always brings his pet turkey around with him.
Okay.
Here he is talking about his pet turkey. His name is T2, by the way.
And she's just become a really big part of my life. Apart from work, she goes everywhere with me. She rides around in the car, goes shopping, so she waits in the car for me and enjoys getting out of the car and eating Scotch egg, much to the amusement of a lot of people.
Imagine having a turkey as your pet, just chilling. And I hope you keep those windows cracked when you're driving around with that turkey in there.
You better be, and not locking them in there on a hot day. You know how I feel about that stuff. I'll be smashing windows out there.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about, like, we've become as a society, it's like you have a dog, you have a cat, and there's some people that have fish and reptiles, mm-hmm. of course, too. You don't really see people having turkeys as pets or other kind of strange animals.
Yeah, I would consider it exotic or specialized. I mean, I don't even know if it's legal all over the place, right? But there's people out there, they got bunnies and, you know, you might adopt a raccoon in your neighborhood.
What?
It's not all that crazy. You know, most animals are specialized for their environment, right? So unless you have some cool area like that for them to be, where they belong is, you know, where they were found originally.
I'm always jealous of people that have pigs as pets, those little piglets, because one, they're so cute.
Yes.
And two, you know, my mom grew up in Italy on a farm, so it's actually really sad when she tells the story, but she had a couple pets. One pet was her donkey, Pupa.
Okay.
And the donkey would go everywhere with her. Like, I just imagine, like, my mom walking around those streets of Italy, the dirt roads, and like Pupa the donkey just following her everywhere she goes. And it did.
Right.
But also, she used to love the pigs. So she would help raise the pigs, and she would name a couple of them and get very close to them every year. And then my grandfather would tell her on, like, the slaughter days, would say to her, it's time for you to run. And she would run as far as she could into the fields so that she couldn't hear. And I'm thinking,
this is like the Silence of the Lambs right here. What are
so
you doing
sad.
To me?
But, like, I think about it, and I'm like, imagine, like, every year she would have these new pets. And then, like, a year later when they were old enough, like, your father being like, run, Maria, run, escape. It's just out in the mountains hiding.
Oh, my God.
Just Pupa sadly trotting behind her, jogging behind her.
This is such a sad story.
All right, well, let's turn it around. If you could have any pet, any animal that didn't get slaughtered every year.
I was going to say, just knock pig off the list.
Which one would you pick?
You know, I mean, I feel like certain birds can be really smart and intelligent and interesting. But I also feel like you look them in the eye, you just don't know if you can trust them.
Mm.
You know, they do that side head thing there. I saw some emus at a fair recently. They were cool looking, but they have talons like raptors.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can snuggle with them at night. Cows. They say that cows are like big dogs.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be nice. But you know what also would happen to the cow? Oh,
stop it. No.
Scop, run! No. Run into the mountains! Run, Raven!
It could be a vegan farm, thank you.
Goose Baba.
It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
Small things you can do to make a big difference in your life. It's called rocking. And even though it has a name...
Oops.
Yeah, I know, Raven. I think people have been doing this for a long time to burn calories when they're working out. Here's the guy from the internet explaining what it is.
Rucking is simple as putting weight in a backpack and going for a walk.
It's like running because you have the miles element, but it's more quality miles.
As long or as short as you want to go, as much time as you have, fast or as slow as you want to go, at the end of the day, it's a great combination of cardio, because it does get your heart rate up, and weight training, because you do have any amount of weight that you want on your back.
So they basically put a name on it, but people have been doing this for years.
Sure. I remember my mom, when we were growing up, she used to have those weighted, like, Velcro things you would put around your ankles and
people
your wrists.
Still wore, so when I was doing my rehab after my knee surgery, I had to wear those all the time to strengthen my knee, you know? Yes, even when I did Tough Mudder and Spartan back in the day when those are popular,
sure.
We used to have one of the things was we had to carry a big weighted thing on our back up a hill.
Yeah, it just intensifies your workout by your body having to bring more of that load.
But it's supposed to burn a lot more calories. So Raven put it to the test yesterday.
Yeah.
Of course, Raven half listens when I speak. So when I explained to him what it was and what rucking was and what he was going to try, he interpreted it as rut sacking.
Yeah.
So here he is. Yeah. In his garage, getting ready to load.
It's my shed.
To load the backpack.
All right, rucksack experiment. Turns out that, I got home and my wife told me I needed to cut the lawn and it had to happen in the next 30 minutes. And also, B, I don't have, like, weights laying around for the rucksack. So we're just going to use what we can. We're here in the shed. So I got, how about a gallon of pool shock? That's pretty heavy. Yeah, put that on the back. I bet you we can put another one in there. That'll be pretty heavy. And I think I can fit a couple of these beach shovels in here. That's going to be suitable, right?
All right, so I like the fact that even though it's called rucking, it has nothing to do with anything, you've named it your rucksack.
My rucksack.
Your rucksack.
Yeah. I thought that's what you said.
Yeah. All right, so good. So now you load it up, and that's a lot of stuff. Two gallons of shock has got to be really heavy, right?
It was definitely heavy on the back. Yeah, and I put it on there, and then I hopped off, and I did some weed whacking, and I did some riding mowing. That weed whacker finally running good.
All right.
Just took forever.
All right, so you do all of this.
Yeah.
You get off, and here is what Raven says how it works, the rucking.
You know, all in all, I'd say the rucksack is actually not all that bad. And, you know, I had a good amount of weight in there, that's for sure. These two bags of bottles of shock, rather. But definitely sweatier when you're doing the weed whacking. And the riding mower, not so much a problem.
Well, right, because you're sitting on the riding mower,
yeah, but
right?
You know what happened? So I had those big shovels sitting out of the back of the pack, and then I was mowing, and then I went under this ornamental tree we have in the front, and it caught me.
Oh.
Yeah, and then I was, like, stuck half in a tree on top of my mower. It's just always a disaster there. You'll have to see the video for that.
It's a hazard to put shovels in your rucksack, which is a thing that Raven just made up.
Yep.
But I guess at the end of the day, rucking actually works.
Yeah.
And if you want to burn more calories, put a heavy backpack on. It's really all it is. And you'll torch some more calories.
I mean, do I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger today?
Absolutely.
Like, is the body physique there?
When you walked in the door today, I was like,
wow.
Did he do rucksacking?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Channing Tatum-esque body, yeah.
I was shocked by the whole thing.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 It's the little things in life that make you crazy, right? You know, whenever somebody does it, you just roll your eyes and you think to yourself, that's all I need to know about you. Here's your chance to get it off your chest. 1-800-330-9999. Darius, that's all I need to know about you.
Okay, if you shrink your clothes and you still wear them out in public, that's all I need to know about you. My brother, he keeps shrinking his pants. They keep getting tighter and tighter and tighter, and I'm wondering about blood circulation at this point. It is very, like, concerning. What is the goal? What are you trying to achieve here?
There's nothing worse than you buy a nice new hoodie sweatshirt and then you put it in the dryer by accident and you know that thing is just toast, right? And not a zip up. A zip up, it wears differently. You can stretch that sucker out. One that just pulls over.
Mm. Yeah, the pullover hoodie.
Oh, it's over.
Yeah. But then to still wear it, like, you can still wear it in the house.
Oh, not me, man. I feel like I'm choking.
Yeah.
You and I are on the same mindset in regards to that. Like, I can't wear anything that I've shrunken by accident because I feel like I will choke. Exactly.
When your hoodie turns into a crop top, you got to let it go.
Katie, that's all I need to know about you. What's up?
If you still decorate your house with tapestries and incense like you're in college, that's all I need to know about you.
I know what it's going to smell like in that house.
Incense?
No, close though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think some people have a really hard time decorating, like the difference between being a kid decorating your house and a grown up. I am dealing with this right now because in the new house, I'm like, I want this to look like a real grown-up house. Like, this is my forever house. I want it to look like adults live here. And I don't know what I'm doing.
I was going to say, just hire somebody. Do yourself a favor. It's hard.
I had the woman that staged my old house that our realtor, you know, he hired her. And she did such a beautiful job staging our old house that I remember walking in and being like,
who lives here?
Wait a minute. This is my house?
Right.
So I called her to come over and she dummied it up for me. Like she gave me, Katie, I kid you not, she was giving me measurements. She's like, you have to buy a mirror that will go here that will be 24 inches by 30. She could not have been more specific. I have a notebook with every single note that she gave me.
Smart.
She walked out the door. It was like I was a deer stuck in headlights. I was like,
Come back.
I went on Wayfair to try to pick a mirror. And I was like, there's 7,000 options.
You're sweating, crying. Right. Just come back.
Lindsay, can you send me 3 different links? And I just have to pick one of those links. It would make my life a whole lot easier.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I give up.
That's why some people just stick with the tapestries. It just covers bigger areas. Yeah.
Right.
This one's got Jimi Hendrix on it.
Cool.
Allison, that's all I need to know about you.
If you wash and reuse your Ziploc bags and foil, that is all I need to know about you.
What if they're not that dirty? And it's just a little bit of cheese melted on that you can easily just peel right off.
What?
Nah, cheapskate.
With the tin foil, it would just be do the fold. Right. So you can reheat something that's smaller than that item. You might even be able to wrap something like that. But you got to rip the dirty edge off. You got to rip the dirty edge off. So if you got cheese on a spot, that spot's got to go. But if you've got a smaller piece of pizza to wrap after that, right? Or you've got, you know, something you want to cook like just on the toaster. Oh, that's the way to do it.
If the Ziploc bag is not disgusting, I am going to reuse it, and there's nothing you can tell me to stop me.
It's going to smell like mayonnaise.
It's fine.
It's going to smell like mayonnaise. I can't have that.
If I could see through the window, it is good to go. I can't do some things before 9 a.m., and I watched my daughter do this the last, I don't know, week or so, and it's been really irking me. I talked to her about it last night.
How do you chew gum so early in the morning?
Because I want it.
But don't you think that it's, like, too early to start chewing gum at, like, 7:30 in the morning?
Yeah. I think it was a bit later than 7:30.
Yeah, but, like, 8:30. Still, I feel like you can't chew gum before 9 a.m.
Well, I think that you can.
I don't know how you do that.
I don't know how you drink coffee every morning.
It's a fair assessment. It's a fair response. You know what? It depends a lot on the night that I had the night before as to whether or not I can chew gum early the next morning.
All right, Raven, producer Sean.
Yeah.
Chew gum in the morning, though?
Yeah.
Like, who chews gum in the morning?
No.
Right?
Sometimes, like, substituting it for brushing her teeth or something? Like,
no.
Sometimes you need it as a supplemental, you know? If it was a long night, huh, and you're short on sleep or whatever, you got to get up and go to work or whatever, throwing a little piece of whitening gum in there is not a bad idea.
No, then you need a breath mint. You don't need the. You don't need a piece of gum.
I don't
right?
know. I need something that's going to last a bit. I eat all my Tic Tacs, so if you give me a breath mint, like, I chew that thing, it's gone in 45 seconds.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't chew gum before 9 a.m. I've been watching her do it, and I'm like, you know what? Nope. Hard no over here.
Okay. I can't go to a meeting or a seminar before 9 a.m.
Why?
If I go to a meeting or a seminar before 9 a.m., the rest of the day is shot. Because I wake up, and I'm like, woo! I've got energy, and I am ready to go. But if you sit me in conversation and being a part of a huddle, that I'm cool with. But if I sit in one spot longer than like 30 minutes and have to listen to somebody else speak, oh, that's it. And the rest of the day is going to be shot. I'm telling you, it's going to be a bad one for me.
You realize that's most people's lives.
Yeah. Thank gosh. I've got ADHD and made a career out of it, huh?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
You know, I can't, like cleaning. I can't clean early in the morning. I'm an early riser. Mm-hmm. I will get up at like 5 or 6 a.m. And of course, the first thing on my mind is I want to organize, clean, pick things up, vacuum, do dishes or something. My entire family will sleep until like 10 or 11. I can't do anything until they wake up because if I do, then it becomes a thing. And why are you cleaning? You're being loud. We're trying to sleep. Go to bed earlier.
I have never once complained to my husband that he got up too early to clean the house. I just want to say that out loud. If that should happen, I would be happy about it. I don't, you know, and he does. He does his fair share around the house for sure. He's actually a lot like you, producer Sean, where he's very, like, everything has to have its place. It's got to be clean. He can't go to bed at night if there's dirty dishes in the sink, that kind of thing.
Well, do me a favor and talk to Rachel for a minute.
I mean, the people that are mowing their lawn at you know, 8 a.m. on a Saturday, like, if you're vacuuming in the house and it's 6:30 in the morning, like, you're evil. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion is that I can live with you. You're like the worst housemate ever.
There's some things you just cannot do before 9 a.m. What are they? 1-800-330-9999. My daughter has been chewing gum consistently at like 7:30 in the morning, like on her way to school. And I don't understand how you do that.
You know what? Whenever I drive by a jogger and they've got reflectors on because it's still that dark out.
Yeah.
Because it's that early. I think to myself, you are a crazy person.
Yes, I can't run early in the morning. I mean, I can't run, period, but early in the morning, right. Too?
It seems like it would be so daunting. Nope, I give up.
You bought a helmet with a headlamp to go running at 4 a.m.?
I'm like, why not just wait till it's like, you know, 11?
Janet, what can't you do before 9 a.m.?
You know, I really can't. I can't drink a mimosa before 9 a.m.
But that's when they're four.
Well, aren't they for like 9, 10?
It seems really close. We're splitting hairs here now. When you know that you're going to be doing it all day long, I like to start early.
But a mimosa, I feel like, is going to hurt your tummy. True story, I've never had a Bloody Mary in my life.
Oh, no. So that's what you got to do. When we're going to brunch, that's the way to do it. I do a loaded Bloody Mary, spicy.
Ugh.
Nice.
There's something about that. Thinking about drinking tomato juice with vodka with pepper and a celery. Like, I don't know how people do it. I don't know how they're obsessed with it. And I don't know how you do it in the morning out of all times.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. If it is made fresh and with good ingredients, that will set you right. Even if you're hungover, that'll save your life.
I don't think I could do it.
Hey, Ramon. What's something you can't do before 9 a.m.?
I can't have breakfast before 9 a.m.
Yeah, a lot of people can't eat before 9 a.m. And you want to know what? They drilled it in our head since we were little that you have to break the fast, that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And I've had a bunch of people tell me that's not true.
Yeah, I don't think the time really matters. I mean, if you're eating well enough, you're probably in good shape. But then again, look at me.
If I eat before 9 a.m., I feel so much nausea. I feel terrible. I can't.
On our text line says, I know people who eat Doritos early in the morning. I don't know. Talk about not eating. Imagine eating Doritos first thing in the morning.
Am I camping or am I in college? Because if I'm either of those things, fully acceptable.
I think I've seen, Raven, I think I've seen you eat potato chips early in the morning many times before.
I love the salt.
Jason, how about you? What's something you think you can't do before 9 a.m.?
So I can't work out before 9 a.m. I just can't do it in the morning. I'm just too tired.
You know, they say it's really the best time for you, especially if you want to lose weight. But I get it. You know, it's like a whole different mindset. I used to work out at night before I switched over, and now I don't work out at all,
Switch over to what?
Oh, yeah. Well, switched over to nothing at this point in my life. But there was a time when I worked out at night, and it was way slower to start.
I used to work out in the morning back when I could work out in the morning, and it was certainly the best time of the day because you have the most energy or the most focused, all of that. And the problem is when you don't get it over with first thing in the morning, it's so much easier to make the excuses as the day goes on.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I got to return these emails. I got to work. I got to do this. I got to go to the grocery store. Next thing you know, it's 8 o'clock and you're in bed and you didn't work out.
You got to switch over, Anna.
I did. I don't even go. I'm trying to get back into going at some point.
Well, either way, I still think that's safer than jogging when you're like half asleep, you know, because who knows what's going to happen there.
School picture day is happening tomorrow for my little one.
Oh, man.
Dakota. Yeah.
Do you remember what that was like?
It's always so stressful. Like, I guess when you get older, Dakota doesn't know, you know, she's not even five yet. So like to her, it's just another day that she shows up, except I'm going to make her wear a dress and her hair will be in a ponytail or something.
Wow.
Yeah. But I get the thing now, and they've become a lot more advanced with picture day, which even though we can all take really good pictures on our phones, I think it's funny that schools still do this, but I get it. It's like a fundraising thing. They make money from it.
I would imagine quite a bit.
But now you don't have to send in the slip with the check inside. You can pay for everything in advance online.
Okay.
And I always thought it was weird that like you're buying a package of a photo you don't even know if you're going to like.
It could be absolutely horrendous. Right. And I mean, it's 50-50 maybe at best.
Right. And none of my kids have ever taken a great school photo. I'll say that. But, you know, I have high hopes for this year. But this year, when I'm buying it online, which I think is so innovative, I'm shocked because there's all these different options. Page one, you choose the packages, right?
Okay.
Like they range in packages like from like $150 for like, I really love my kid, to like $26.99, and they just call it basic.
Right, it's mailing
like,
it in.
Making it feel bad as a parent. I'm like, oh, right. Basic. All
right. Right, we showed up.
Right, so I'm like, all right, I click that, I go, and I assume I'm going to check out at this point. Second page, now you have to choose the backgrounds, and different backgrounds cost different amount of money.
Oh, okay. So they've got, you know, they've got better backdrops for some people than others. Remember before you would just show up and it was like you were in the forest?
Or in lasers.
Right.
Like lasers were the coolest.
Something strange. There is a family photo in my house where my wife and her grandparents are inside like a snifter glass.
Yeah.
It's so weird. Like, what is that?
I want to pay extra to put my family in a snifter.
I was like, what? Are we having cognac after? What is this?
And I always thought it was weird that you have to pay extra now for like the ones with the trees in the background. I'm like, can't we just take pictures of our kids outside?
So what did you choose? What did you choose?
So they have this aesthetic one, which I'm embarrassed to admit. I'm like, it's like, it looks like hardwood floors.
Okay.
And I was like, there's no way this isn't like a Joanna Gaines Magnolia. She gets right. It costs like $3 extra.
She gets a cut. Right.
I selected that one. So now I think after I choose the background, I'm done.
Right.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. I get to the next page. It's $20 to have the kid's name and the year on it. And I was like, absolutely not. I will take a black Sharpie and write it on the back just like my mom did and I did all these years before.
You know whose child that is.
I get to the last page, Raven.
Okay. I think I know where it's going to go.
There's two options.
Okay.
Well, technically, there's three options.
Yeah.
Option one is touch-ups. Yeah. $19.99
yeah.
for touch-ups. And I go, oh my gosh. Who thinks their kid is so ugly
oh.
that they're like, let me just pay this $19.99.
I'm going to let you finish. What okay. were the other options?
$21.99, advanced touch-ups.
Okay.
I'm like, what do? They just superimpose other kids.
Put another smile on it. Right?
Right. They're like, look at this cute kid. Your kid can have this cute kid's face for $21.99.
See what your new smile looks like today.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
And then the third option was no thank you. And I was like, no thank you, because I don't want my kid to go to school and
really?
Look over the shoulder and be like, my mom paid $22 because she thought I was so ugly that I had to pick another kid's smile.
Oh, man. I don't know, man. I go against you on this one. I feel like the second that I know and I have the ability to read the back page for touch-ups,
oh
you better be ordering one of the touch-ups.
That's so sad.
I don't know about advance. If you're worried that they're going to put my classmate's nose on my face or whatever, that's one thing. But especially when I get to like middle school or high school, you better be paying for the editing.
Imagine when I get the 14 wallets that I paid for, which I don't know what I'm going to do with them. And I'm like, I should have paid the $22. I should have.
It seems like money well spent.
There's eggnog on the shelves at my grocery store. Eggnog!
Is it the good stuff? Because we've had that discussion before. The regular stuff is no longer for me.
Hmm.
That good stuff that came in that green bottle that time. Oh, that's good stuff.
I don't care if it's what bottle it comes in. Eggnog does not belong in the grocery store till I would say November 1st, minimum.
But this is that old argument, right? Like, you know, pumpkin, you know, spice or whatever. A lot of people want that to happen all year round. Pumpkin beer, people like that. It's an old argument.
Raven, producer Sean, I don't know if you're aware of this, but eggnog is supposed to be a treat that you look forward to once a year. And there has been a movement to make it a year-round thing.
Mm.
Like, every day, like, on a random March 13th,
okay.
you can walk into a grocery store and buy eggnog. How do you feel about this? Sean?
I'm not okay with it.
No?
I don't like it, no.
I don't like it either.
It's like you said, I feel like you look forward to these things when, like, you know, the holidays come around. Like, eggnog is a special thing.
Would it be different if you lived in a place where, like, your climate felt Christmassy the whole time?
Like Santa's workshop?
Yeah.
If you live in Santa's workshop,
right?
You can have eggnog year-round, but that's it.
I mean, what is the history of eggnog? How was it developed? Like, what, you know, what did they bring it out for? Was it to convince kids to like eggs and milk-like products?
No. How many kids you know drink eggnog? How many kids you know?
Like, I used to love it when I was a kid.
What, really? Mm-hmm.
I used to love it. Yeah. Oh. As soon as it came out, I would do the whole half gallon, seriously.
While culinary historians debate its exact lineage, most agree eggnog originated from the early medieval British drink called posset, which was made with hot milk that was curdled with wine or ale and flavored with spices.
Mm. My Google says that George Washington served it to visitors at Mount Vernon, complete with sherry, rum, and rye whiskey. And at West Point graduations. Very nice.
Never in my life have I had eggnog by itself. I've always had it with amaretto. Like, that's the only way I have it. I have it once a year. And you know when that is? It's right after church on Christmas Day. That's it.
You know what? Eggnog and Hennessy. Try it out. Delicious.
Well, coquito, if you want, you know, something
exactly.
Like that. Yeah, that's
but coquito,
delicious.
Isn't it its own thing? I don't think it's...
I mean it is its own thing, but it's an eggnog-like type drink that's made with booze, and it's delicious. Mm-hmm. And usually I only get that one time a year. Thank God, because I drink that all the time.
Yeah, I know. My sister-in-law is from Puerto Rico, and she makes a mean coquito. I look forward to that, too.
And you've got to have somebody that knows how to genuinely make it. You can't have the friend that's got, like, the dumbed-down version of the recipe. It's got to be the real deal.
Oh, no, no.
And they protect that secret.
I'll show you how Maribel makes it. I'll bring it in this year. You'll love it.
Oh,
but
please.
All I kept thinking, though, is that if we start normalizing eggnog year-round, right, then we don't have anything to look forward to anymore. It just becomes another thing on the shelf that you can buy that you don't care about.
Oh, the gathering of family, joy of, you know, sharing time together, a delicious ham on the table. None of those things are festive enough for you.
Next thing you know, fruitcake. We're going to have fruitcake year round.
Jesus' birthday?
Yeah.
This trumps that?
Oh, gosh. Why is it trending? Top things that are trending and why. It's like the story that never ends. So Taylor Swift and the Chiefs' Travis Kelce, after rumors of them dating has been going on for a few weeks now, she showed up at the Chiefs game on Sunday, sat in Travis's suite with his mom and all his friends in there, and then they left after in his convertible, the getaway car.
Yeah.
See what I did there?
Yes, okay. I get it. I mean, again, I contend that he didn't hold her hand, but then there was the whole outfit thing and the different puzzle pieces here and whatnot. So is it real? Is it not real? I don't know.
Well, we're going to find out. Here's what he had to say. So, you know, his brother, Jason, and him have a podcast together. It's actually really funny. It's a good podcast. It's called New Heights. And a lot of times they're talking about, you know, football. That's what they do. His brother also plays for the Eagles.
They talk about life, too. I mean, they talk about a lot of other stuff.
They're funny guys. They're, you know, they're just like brothers that have a podcast and they're good. And they finally acknowledged it.
How does it feel that Taylor Swift has finally put you on the map?
Shout out to Taylor for pulling up. That was pretty ballsy. I just thought it was awesome how everybody in the suite had nothing but great things to say about her. You know, the friends and family. She looked amazing. Everybody was talking about her in great light.
All right. So, like, that doesn't really answer the question yet of, like, what's going on, right? Mm-hmm. So they continue.
Yeah. So this has been in the rumor mill for quite some time, and we've been debating bringing these rumors up on the podcast or talking about it at all. You clearly have wanted to keep this thing a little bit less public.
Well, one, I know I brought all this attention to me. I did the whole friendship bracelet thing and, you know, told everybody how butthurt I was that I didn't get to meet Taylor.
And he did. He made it very public that he had a crush on her, really liked her, wanted to have her number, and that she wouldn't meet him after one of her concerts. He basically made a public cry for help.
He took his shot.
Yeah, exactly.
What's real is that, you know, it is my personal life, and I want to respect both of our lives. She's not in the media as much as I am doing this show every single week. Like you said on that Thursday night game, I'm enjoying life, and I sure as hell enjoyed this weekend. Everything moving forward, I think me talking about sport will have to be kind of where I keep it.
Okay.
Oh, so now it sounds to me, actually, that they're going to date.
They're definitely going
to
date.
Yeah, it sounds to me like they're going to go out for a while here because, I mean, this is the thing is if you want to hang out with Taylor Swift, you can't be talking.
No.
Because that's going to blow up in your face right away.
When I saw the teaser yesterday, the podcast was coming out today, I thought to myself, I go, this is strange because, like, if you're a Swiftie, you know she is very protective and personal of her private life, as she should be for everything that she went through early on in her career.
Yeah, you know, on the other hand, I mean, like, she's also the person who brought a lot of those things on in her career, too, because she writes about these things and shares these things, right? So, and, you know, I heard somebody say it yesterday. They were like, well, she's kind of been locked up, buried with Joe Alwyn for 6 years.
It's true.
And so she's never really had. And even if you look at the other people she's dated, like, she never had a guy like this who's like a guy who's like, no, that's my girlfriend. And I'm going to put it out there and whatever.
I'm here for it. I know that they're probably just having fun and they're like,
I can't
it's laid
we're
back.
Still talking about
I just, I just love it. I love it because he's just like a big goofy guy. And
it's like if you were dating in high school,
right? Like John Mayer jerk, right?
Just a complete opposite type of guy other than this. Like if John Mayer is going to talk about his relationship, it's going to be in an interview and he's going to say the wrong thing.
She always goes out with these moody kind of actors.
Brooding.
Brood. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Like this is just a guy who's out there with a big mouth and having a good time and like go get yourself some fun, Taylor. Have some fun.
Yeah. I mean, again, we're still here talking about
muscles.
It. I can't believe it.
So many muscles.
All right, relax. All right.
It's such a difficult question to answer. How do you find true love? So Olivia Rodrigo, she is, you know, super young. I think she's not even 20 yet.
I think she's like 20 years old at this point now.
All her hit songs are about the guys that have hurt her. And, you know, she keeps swinging. She keeps trying. She keeps dating.
Yeah, I mean, she keeps getting number one songs one after another after another and winning awards. So even if this isn't actually happening, make up a boyfriend in your mind.
So she was talking to this 9-year-old boy named Miles, and she asked him this.
How do you think that I find love in my life?
Pick a person that looks kind.
Okay. You are so sweet.
And the only person you can't marry is your cousin.
What happens if you marry someone that's your cousin?
Something bad happens to your body.
Something bad happens to your body if you marry your cousin.
My parents would always tell me, three heads. Three heads. Why is that still a thing that we still have to remind our kids not to marry their cousins?
I mean, they should know. By now, people know. Don't marry your cousin. But it was really cute when he said this. Hold on. Let's see.
Pick a person that looks kind.
A person that looks kind. Mm-hmm. Isn't that sweet?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good advice, too, right? Kids, they don't have a filter. They haven't been, you know, kind of desensitized and jaded by all the things around them out there. So I think it makes a lot of sense. Look at somebody that you think that looks happy, that makes you happy to look at them and you want to sit next to and talk to and spend time with.
Right. Somebody that looks kind. And I was thinking about it. I'm like, as an adult. Mm-hmm. It's hard to answer that question because it gets so foggy. And a lot of times if you just ask a kid, the kid will just come what comes to their mind. So on the line, it's my nephew, Drew. He's 9 years old as well, just like this kid. Drew, how do you find true love?
I don't know, like the Bahamas or something.
In the Bahamas.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good place.
Right.
I believe that's actually where Eddie Murphy said that he found it in one of his comedy specials. I don't think he was being serious, though. I think he was being facetious, to say the least.
Drew, do you know what facetious means?
No.
All right. Drew, why do you think the Bahamas is where you find true love?
Because some hot and people wear like bathing suits all everywhere.
Yeah, that way you're not hiding anything.
It's true.
Right?
Yeah.
What you see is what you get.
Like, how do you know when you find somebody, that's the person that you should spend the rest of your life with?
If she's cute.
Oh, if they're cute.
That's it.
That's it? That's all your qualifications to find your forever partner?
Well, I don't know how to make true love, but I'm just going to say that.
Hedge your bets. Be safe. I get it.
How about everybody that's been married for over 10 years? How about some real advice from people that have lived it? Seems like such an easy question, but when you actually think about it, it's hard. How do you find true love? Olivia Rodrigo, who's young and writes lots of songs about how her heart has been crushed so many times, she asked a 9-year-old, and here's what he had to say.
How do you think that I find love in my life?
Pick a person that looks kind.
Isn't that sweet? Just pick a person that looks kind.
Yeah, and it's good advice, too, right? Somebody that has an interest in being happy.
But what if you've been married a long time? Let's say over 10 years. What advice do you have for somebody that's out there looking for love? 1-800-330-9999. Greg, you've been married over 10 years?
I just celebrated my 25th anniversary last week.
Oh, perfect. Congratulations. How do you find love in your life?
How do you find love in your life?
Yeah.
Goodness, that's a really heavy question.
Well, right, but you know, you've been married 25 years.
Well, I think patience.
Elaborate on patience.
Oh, God,
well, you got to calm down. You got to be patient, and he will.
I wish I had more. How do you find love in your life? I have no idea. I think it just happens.
Did you get hit by a bus or something? How did it happen to you?
Oh, well, it was magical. I took her to Denny's.
That's ironically the exact same place my wife and I first had an interaction.
Gina, how long have you been married?
36 years. I just did the math. I had to figure it out because I knew you'd ask me.
She doesn't even know it's been so long. Mm. How do you find love?
How do I find love?
Yeah. Like, where does somebody find love in their life?
I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that. I guess in happiness and thoughtfulness and how people express themselves, you know, how they treat you.
Ed, 17 years you've been married. How do you find love?
Oh, my God. These days?
Yeah.
I don't know. These days, everybody's looking online and trying to find a shortcut. Just go out and talk to people. Be friendly. Just say hello. You know, all she's going to do is say, don't talk to me or leave me alone or you're harassing me. But other than that, just talk. Ask.
Yeah.
Say, how are you? What's your name?
Yeah.
So much
like
of it, I remember back in the day, was, in fact, like just having the boldness to say hi.
Right.
You know, because so many people, even then, and this was before phones, cell phones, where, you know, you just didn't have the guts to walk up to everybody. Oftentimes you hear this from famous people. They're like, how did you start dating a normal person? Because they asked me.
Yeah.
Because they were the only person that asked me out. Nobody asked me out. You hear this from people all the time. They're like, nobody asks me out.
Janet, you've been married over 10 years. How do you find love?
I've been married 23 years. Definitely a sense of humor, a best friend, someone I can talk to all the time, and just someone who I can trust, and just definitely a sense of humor. Otherwise, we wouldn't have made it this far.
Now, here's the big question, Raven. Is this easier said than done?
Oh, of course it is. I mean, anybody who's ever been married or been in a long-term relationship realizes that there's a good amount of work that goes into it, too. It's not just like you walk in a room and you're like, I knew right at that moment, and you're never going to have a problem.
I think you also got to date the person that you didn't think you would date, because I think physical attraction wanes after a while, and you have to just find the person that will make you laugh for the rest of your life. I think that last lady nailed it on the head.
Well, you just said it. You think that your husband, Paul, is unattractive. I'm going to tell him.
No, that's not what I said.
What couple?
Why would he go all the way to Oregon for this job when our life isn't there?
One problem.
Create so many opportunities for the family. I mean, we already have one kid in college already. And
you decide the outcome.
I think that it's going to be really hard on us.
It's just going to create so many opportunities.
Go and take work, guys. Good luck.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Gavin and Brittany. Brittany, what's going on?
Well, you guys, I love dogs. I'm a huge animal lover, and we have two dogs already, and I said yes to fostering a third dog, even though Gavin wasn't happy about it, and now I want to keep the dog because no one's going to take this dog, and Gavin and I just can't agree on what to do about it.
Oh, boy.
Well, this is why I don't foster, to tell you the truth, as terrible as that sound is, because I don't know how people do it. And thank God that they do, absolutely, because there's so many dogs that need a home. I don't know how you take a dog into your house, love that dog for a while, even, you know, nurse that dog back to health, and then have it go to another home. I mean, you're making a big impact. I would end up keeping them all. Gavin, what's your side of this?
My side of this is we don't need a third dog. I mean, this is how we got a second dog. We agreed to have a dog, and she wanted, you know, we worked with this rescue that she was tied to. We got a second dog. We ended up adopting that dog, and then she agrees to a third dog without even asking me. We said, okay, it's just a foster. It's just a foster. We're going to give it back. We've had the dog for, you know, 2-3 weeks, and now she's like, oh, we got to keep it. And our house isn't big enough for a third dog. And this dog is like, you know, it's like 13 years old or something. It has eye issues. You know, it goes to the bathroom in the house, and it doesn't get along with our other two dogs. And I want it out of the house. Like, it's time for it to move on to a new foster home. That was the agreement. And now, you know, Brittany wants to keep it, and I don't want it.
Oh, it's tough. I don't know if you can adopt a dog when one member doesn't want it, period.
Brittany, is the dog at the tail end of its life? I mean, is that why it's going to the bathroom in the house, or is this like a marking dominance space thing?
No, I think he's just really old, and he's got some issues, you know, with his health, and that's kind of the problem, is that the rescue begged me to take this dog in. They just don't have enough homes for these dogs to go to, and if we don't take this dog in, I'm afraid that it's got nowhere else to go, and I just couldn't live with that. You know, he's sweet as can be, and yes, he doesn't get along with the other dogs, and yes, it's a little crazy in the house, but I don't think it'll be for long. I mean, to your point, he's really old. I don't think he's going to live that much longer.
But also then that becomes more expensive, because now you've got a lot more vet bills, and you have a lot more of that looming in the horizon.
I mean, sometimes the rescue has things in place for that too, though, so I know what would happen to me, but I don't know what the audience is going to say.
Would you adopt a third dog, even though you really didn't have the space for it, but your heart was just, the strings were tugging? I think more than two dogs is nuts for a family to have, honestly. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Gavin told Brittany, don't foster any more dogs. Don't do it, because you fail every single time. Mm. But her heart strings got tugged, and sure enough, she brought in a dog, and now she wants to adopt that dog. It would be their third, and Gavin is very much against it.
Yeah, he's just not a big fan of this dog here. First off, he's like, we don't have room for three dogs. We've already got two. We've got our hands full at this point right now. This dog doesn't get along with the other dogs. He's, you know, he's got some health issues. He's a little bit older in his years. Take the dog back to the rescue. Let somebody else foster this dog. Let somebody else adopt this dog. It's gone on long enough. You know, it's tough, though. Again, you're in a situation, you see an animal that needs you and you want to help and you think you're having an impact, and really hard to get past that.
Yeah. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Michelle, whose side are you on?
It's a tough choice, but I'm going to say the husband's, but I have a solution for the wife. I have two dogs of my own, and I absolutely love dogs, so I went on Rover, and now I watch dogs and get paid for it.
I just used Rover for the first time, and this is not a commercial ad. That's how I found my new dog sitter. Mm-hmm. I had a friend recommend it to me.
And you had a good result?
Yeah, he's great. Well, yeah. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. He warned her. Gavin said to Brittany, don't bring home another foster dog. We can't do it. You keep taking them in. Mm. And sure enough, her heart strings got tugged. She brought in another dog. And now she wants to adopt this dog. Says that no one's going to adopt this puppy. He's got a lot of health issues, a little bit older. And Gavin's mad.
Well, listen, I mean, you have to make decisions based on, you know, you've got two forces at work here, right? Emotions and practicality. And at some point, you have to be practical in your decision making, because if not, it becomes a detriment to everything else that you have going on. They already have two dogs, right? They say they don't have the room for the third dog. Gavin is not a fan of the dog. So what kind of life are you really offering that animal? And what does it do impeding on your own life at this point? Probably best to find somebody else who's better suited to take on this animal, if that's the case, if he's not going to find happiness there.
But Bernie is like, yeah, but what's done is done. And now we have this dog and we have to just deal with it. And sometimes making sacrifices for your spouse is making sacrifices for your spouse.
Also true.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Jessica, whose side are you on?
The wife. I feel like it's not the size of your home. It's the size of your heart. And maybe he never heard of happy wife, happy life. She will resent him forever if he makes her get rid of it.
I mean, you do two cliches in one sentence. I applaud you. But you know what? I speak the same way at times, too. You know what? Honestly, to me, it's like once you got two dogs, what's three? What's four? You're already wiping puppy feet. So I'm with you.
Christine, what do you think? Whose side are you on?
I'm going to go with his side. And the reason being, I've fostered over 70 puppies for a rescue.
Wow.
And that's a lot. But that particular dog has already seen a situation where it wasn't wanted. And it doesn't sound like this man wants the dog in his house. So it's in yet another situation where it's not wanted. So they need to find a home for the dog where it is completely wanted.
Hey, Maria, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
Originally, I started out on his side, but now I'm on her side. The dog is 13 years old, probably doesn't have a lot of time left, and I know that rescues usually, like, provide vet visits and food, and I just think the dog is 13. I know they don't have a lot of room, but I couldn't imagine a 13-year-old dog not living in a house in the last years of his life.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Gavin, our audience agreed with you. Brittany, if Gavin is not on board and he knew this was going to be an issue, which is why he didn't want you to foster in the first place, you can't just bring in another pet without your husband being on the same side.
Yeah, I know. I'm just torn. I'm really torn. I don't know. How do you turn this dog away? God, so hard.
Gavin, well, you must feel good about that, destroying your wife's heart.
I certainly don't feel good about breaking my wife's heart, but, you know, I think she'll get over it. This dog is way more trouble than it's worth, and I'll be happy to be rid of it.
Oh.
Wow.
Yep.
That's it. All the nice things that I thought about you are over.
Yeah. Brittany, are you going to be okay?
I don't know, guys. I don't know how I'm going to take this dog back to the rescue and just leave him, and then he's going to look at me with those sad doggy eyes, and I don't know. This is terrible.
I'm going to take care of it. I'll take care of all that. It'll be fine.
By take care, he means, like, put the dog in the car and bring him directly back to the rescue and say, you guys are on your own, and run away.
See, I feel terrible. The longer we talk about it, the worse I feel.
I know. It's sad. Okay, if you have a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$500 is the jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Laura, are you ready to play today?
I sure am.
All right, I'd love to give away this money. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Laura.
Thank you.
Laura, are you feeling strong, like you know your stuff?
We'll try.
All right. I'll take it. All right, Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Ready?
All right, make them easy.
Okay. I think I did. Number one, the writer's strike may be coming to an end, but SAG just authorized a strike against the video game industry. Mario originated as a character in which classic video game?
Mario Brothers. Super Mario Brothers.
Number two, Kelly Clarkson surprised a Vegas street performer who didn't recognize her by singing Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do With It. Clarkson got her fame by winning what TV singing competition?
American Idol.
Number three, Airbnb is offering a weekend at Shrek's Swamp in the Scottish Highlands. The host is Donkey. In the first Shrek, what is Princess Fiona guarded by?
A swamp.
Number four, Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares returns to Fox after a 10-year hiatus. What is the name of Ramsay's reality cooking competition that also shares the same name with some of his restaurants?
Hell's Kitchen.
At number five, Duck Dynasty star Willie Robertson is making a movie titled The Blind. It'll focus on the family's patriarch, Phil Robertson. Duck Dynasty aired on what television network?
AMC.
What is it?
AMC.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
I think I messed up on that one.
Yeah.
Yo. Okay.
2 out of 5 for Laura.
Not great. $500 is the idea.
Oh, man. Number one, the writer's strike may be coming to an end, but SAG just authorized a strike against the video game industry. Mario originated as a character in which classic video game?
Started in Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong is correct.
Oh, man.
Number two, Kelly Clarkson surprised a Vegas street performer who didn't recognize her by singing Tina Turner's What's Love Got to Do With It?
Great song.
Clarkson got her fame by winning what TV singing competition?
Season 1, American Idol.
That's right. Number three, Airbnb is offering a weekend at Shrek's Swamp in the Scottish Highlands.
I saw the photos. Looks very cool.
It's very cool. The host is Donkey. In the first Shrek, what is Princess Fiona being guarded by?
A dragon.
A dragon is right.
Oh.
Number four, Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares returns to Fox after a 10-year hiatus. What is the name of Ramsay's reality cooking show that also shares the same name with some of his restaurants?
Isn't it Hell's Kitchen?
That's right. And number five, Duck Dynasty star Willie Robertson is making a movie titled The Blind. It'll focus on the family's patriarch, Phil Robertson.
I saw the trailer, actually, and it was surprisingly moving.
Yeah.
And I'm not a fan.
It's supposed to be really sad.
I know nothing about Duck Dynasty.
Yeah.
I was actually really surprised at the grit and the greatness of the movie. The actress is phenomenal.
Duck Dynasty aired on what television network?
Gosh, was it... Was it the Travel Channel?
No, it was A&E.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Laura. I beat you 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna on Raven t-shirt.
This is Laura, and I can't be Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $600 tomorrow, Anna.